Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome everyone, this is Brian Myers, and Shane Vanderhart is out of pocket again today. And so we have our good friend and regular contributor here, I guess, Steve Reicher at co-host. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, how are you?
Well, you know, I guess I'm as good as I can be. I mean, you know, I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in, I guess.
My wife says that I should get in shape, and I say, well, round is a shape.
Oh, dear. And she responds by saying what?
I can't say that on the radio.
That's what I figured. Hey, you're a Hoop fan.
Sure, yeah.
Clones had a monster win last night.
That's right.
Big time.
Very nicely done.
Did you watch that, or were you able to watch it at all?
I did not, but yeah, I kind of kept track of it.
I listened to it on the radio, and it was just a huge win. They, you know, they jumped out of the gate early, jumped all over Arkansas, and really never let up right to the end. It was a big time win against a strong opponent.
I think they felt they had something to prove after the game before.
Oh yeah, not the last game was against Lamar, but the game before that, and I forgot now who that was, but yeah,
that's right, the first one there.
Yeah, that didn't go too well. So they had something to prove, but and then are you keeping up with the all the coaching shifts that are being contemplated now?
No, I am not. That's more drama than I can handle at this stage.
You
of
got
my
enough
life.
Drama in your family, right? You
don't Heavenly need to, days.
Well, you know, Shane's not here to harass, but now I think both Iowa State and Iowa football coaches are probably going to survive the season, but there's definitely some heat coming down on them.
Yeah, a little nervous about some of that, I think.
And Bo Pelini over at Nebraska, he didn't survive the season, so that you know. But I think Iowa State and Iowa, they're going to have to change some things up, but I don't think they're going to get.
My understanding is that Nebraska replaced Bo Pelini with a guy who has a worse record than Bo Pelini.
They did. They did. Right? They did. I don't know, man. Life's a mystery. Well, on our line today, and now that this mindless banter is over, on the line with us today is Matt Perman. Did I say that right, Matt? Perman, or is it Perman?
Close.
How should I say it?
Perman,
okay. Matt is the former director of strategy for Desiring God in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and prior to that, he was director of Internet Ministries, where he led the design and launch of the new Desiring God website release in 2006. He's currently living in Des Moines, which I did not know until just recently, and he's a consultant in the interweb world, I guess. Welcome, Matt. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Matt, you're going to be at this conference at Stony Brook over the weekend.
Yes, I am going to be there indeed.
It'll actually be later this afternoon from when this broadcast plays.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is one of those deals where I should be more cognizant of the fact that we're pre-recording the show. So, yeah, full disclosure here, this is Friday morning, real time, but you guys are going to hear this later, so...
And tickets are going to be available at the door. So if you like what you hear from Matt Perman, this is definitely something you should think about
if you're listening to this show Saturday morning, there's still time for you to make plans to get up to Stony Brook. What time's the conference start, by the way?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So Matt, tell us a little bit. Give us a preview of what you're going to be speaking on.
Yeah, well, my big thing is how the gospel changes the way we get things done. So as a Christian, I believe we should look at every area of life from a gospel-centered perspective, and that includes productivity. But there isn't a whole lot of thinking on that out there right now. So that's kind of where I try to zero in, and I'll be looking at how the gospel transforms the way we get things done and how that relates to the glory of God, which is sort of the theme of the conference, technology and the glory of God.
So now I know that our pastor, Matt Harum, is very, very excited about this. And I was yes. talking to Matt the other day, and I said, hey, I'm going to get a chance to talk to Mr. Perman on the radio. He said, I said, give me a feel for who this dude is. And I may have misheard some things, but my general understanding from Matt seemed to think that you were kind of a combination of Anthony Robbins, Jim Collins, and David Allen all rolled into one Christian package.
Oh, dear.
And there was somebody else in there. Was it Shaquille O'Neal? I can't remember, but it was Matt seemed pretty excited about the things that you were going to be sharing.
It sounds to me like you should be offended now.
That's funny. Well, Matt's a very gracious guy. I've developed my thinking on productivity by reading a lot of the best authors, as well as giving deep thought to what the scriptures have to say. So I try and bring in some of the best thinking from people like David Allen, Stephen Covey, and others like that. And I do believe there's a lot to learn from secular thinking as Christians.
Right.
And so, yeah, I try to bring in the best that there is out there and then present it in a biblical worldview.
So one of the things that I understand that you talk a lot about is having a zero inbox. And I've been catching some flack from some things that I may
so
or
how,
may not
how
have
many,
revealed.
How many emails do you have in your inbox?
I'm looking at my Gmail inbox right now, and I have 28,025 emails in my Gmail account.
So, Matt, does he deserve capital punishment for that? Should be taken out and stoned.
Right. you get exiled for that.
Now, my wife has read some things that you wrote, and she has made this conversion, I call it, to a zero inbox, and she has a nervous twitch every time she looks at my at my computer. Are you going to? I'm going to be there on Saturday. Are you planning on convincing me to change the error of my ways?
Well, I talked with Matt about that. I said, Matt, what should I focus on in my time? And I'm going to end up focusing at a higher level. I did think hard about presenting my inbox zero approach in my time, but I'm not going to do that. But let me say, inbox zero is awesome. It is your 28,000 emails is incredible. It's almost a record. I met someone a couple weeks ago that had 31,000. So you got a little work to do.
All right,
give him a little time. He'll get there.
Yeah, that's right. But what I found, now, first of all, it is hard, and I'm not able to do it every single day. That's the ideal. But I just got done moving, and that's a lot of non-computer work,
right.
Moving stuff. You know,
now Brian knows a little about that.
Maybe just a wee bit.
When you're not able to be at your computer every day, you know, you got other stuff going on. You know, we don't want to, like, criticize ourselves and feel bad for what we're not able to do. But it is the ideal because it helps you know what you really have to do. It keeps you from falling into a backlog so that you can be focused on the future and what you have to do next, not all the emails that you're behind on. So it is a very, very helpful practice.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have with us Matt Perman, who is a former director of strategy for Desiring God in Minneapolis and is now a consultant in Des Moines, and he will be speaking at a conference at Stony Brook on Saturday, which I guess if you're hearing this Saturday morning, it's today. But anyway, we're talking to Matt about some of the things that he's interested in, passionate about, and will be speaking about perhaps at the conference. Matt, I see down here you've got an MDiv from Southern Seminary, but I was curious what your undergrad degree was in.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Well, I started out in my undergrad in business because I really affirm the world of work and the importance of business. And as Christians, I think we should respect that and be grateful for those areas of life. But I ended up switching to philosophy. And I ended up graduating with my undergrad in philosophy. And at first I felt that was a little risky. It felt like pre-unemployment, like he wants to hire a philosophy major. But it ended up working out well, because shortly after college, moved up to Minneapolis to attend Piper's church there. And I got a job at his ministry, Desiring God, and everything worked out great.
I'm glad to hear that you bucked the odds on that. We always say that the most common question asked by philosophy majors is, do you want fries with that?
Yeah, exactly. We thought about making up shirts that said that, you know, I'm a philosophy major on the front, you want fries with that on the back.
There you go.
So I'm curious also then, Matt, did you just happen to get into the technology field in a heavy way as kind of a hobby, and it developed into more than that? How did you happen to get into that area of life and develop that expertise?
I sort of just fell into that at college. I went to the University of Northern Iowa, by the way. So unfortunately not Iowa State, right around where you guys are.
Yeah, we'll forgive you for that.
Yeah. The second best, at least, I went to. And I met a good friend in college, Justin Taylor, which a lot of people might know of. He runs the blog Between Two Worlds, and he's been a prominent Christian blogger for probably 10 years now or longer. And we became friends in college, and he wanted to start a website. So we actually started a website in college, and that kind of got me into the web side of things in the early days of the internet. But then at Desiring God, one of the jobs they decided to give me was run the web department. And that wasn't based on any prior experience or expertise I had. They just said, hey, we'd like you to do this. So I kind of was forced to learn all about the web and how to run a web department and web strategy because of my job.
So it's just kind of like throwing you in the water and telling you to swim.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's how my dad taught me how to swim.
Are you sure that's what he was trying to do?
Yeah, right.
He must have got
out. Was he disappointed?
Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, it's definitely a dangerous way. The sink or swim approach sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. And, fortunately, it worked in my case, and part of it was, too, just probably being a, you know, digital native, having grown up, at least beginning in college, with the web. I was able to fall back on the things I knew just from my own experience, and with the web, that kind of thinking and knowledge actually goes a long ways, because it really is about, well, how do people actually use this, what comes naturally. That's really important in understanding web strategy.
Right.
Yeah, Matt, you had a blog post with respect to, I think it was entitled, Employees Are Not Overhead.
Yes.
And it was a short blog post, and there was a couple things that were in there that I heartily agreed with. But here's what I run into as a small businessman. The modern day reality is that many, maybe I won't say most, but many people think businesses exist nowadays to provide jobs, and that these businesses owe them all a living wage, whatever that is. So
right.
my question is to you, because I reject that silliness out of hand. So
yeah.
What kinds of things can we do at a practical level to acknowledge the fact that we do value our employees? They are not overhead. They're not just a number on a spreadsheet someplace. Obviously, the most practical way is send them more money. But beyond that, what are practical ways to show that kind of acknowledgement that they are not just overhead?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I do agree with you. I'm a conservative politically. And so I believe businesses have to be doing real work. It's not just about providing jobs, whatever that job may be. It's about providing jobs that are really needed. So business is not some welfare program in disguise. It's about real work that actually has to get done.
Hmm.
Now, that said, especially in a lot of larger organizations, a lot of times employees are kind of looked down on as cost centers. They're not respected and valued. And what I'm trying to say is, first of all, you should respect your employees because they're in the image of God, and they deserve to be respected and treated well. But second, your business is actually going to do better when you treat your employees well. And there's a lot of research that bears this out and shows the way you treat your employees a lot of times is the way then they will treat their customers. So if you're not treating your employees well and regarding them as the main source of value in your organization, your business is probably going to be less effective than it can be. And some simple ways of showing value to employees is one of the biggest things is not letting stupid policies get in the way. The worst thing is when an employee comes to you with a legitimate need that falls within the business scope, something that would help them do their job better, that's a real thing that would really help them be a better employee, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, we've got a policy. We can't do that for you. That is the worst possible thing. We need to be willing to change our policies to have people affirming policies.
Matt, we're going to run short on time. We want to send people back to your blog because I know they can get more information about this particular question on whatsbestnext.com. And if people would like to connect with you, they can come up to Stonebrook Church later this afternoon from when you're hearing this. The Technology and the Glory of God is a conference that's going to be hosted at Stonebrook Church in Ames, Iowa, with authors Tim Challies and you, Matt Perman. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys too, and anybody else who comes out.
Matt, thanks for being on the show. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And we're back. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers. I'm Steve Riker, sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management and Insurance Services in Ames. Call our good friend Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for literally all of your insurance needs.
Tim's a good guy. He'll get you fixed right up.
Yeah, he's squared away.
All right, what are we talking about here, Steve?
Man, we've got a lot of things to talk about in this segment. I want to tell you about something I put on my Facebook a few days ago and has gotten some violent reactions.
Ooh,
from
violence
from some of my readers.
Ooh.
The Minnesota school are looking at a policy for next year that would allow student athletes to choose sports teams based on their chosen gender identity.
So where's the problem?
The most visceral image to come out of this debate, and if you Google this, I'm not the only person who kind of independently drew this picture, but you literally have the capacity to have an 18-year-old boy sharing the showers with a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, like I said, where's the problem? No, you got it's incredulous look on your face, and I mean
it is, and I have the same reaction to you that I have to all of these people who say this. These are things, and you and I talked about this off the air, that 30 years ago you'd have been strung up on a nearest branch for implying that something like this was a-okay.
Well, nobody would have even thought of this. Again, your mind can come up with some incredible images here. We've got the Lady Dragons or whatever, the basketball team comes out on the court, and here's this guy that weighs 250 pounds and he's 6'4",
right?
He's eligible to play with the Lady Dragons because he identifies his gender as female rather than determining such things by biology like common sense people used to do.
Common sense, I've long opined, is becoming so rare in America that it ought to be deemed a superpower. Like, oh, watch out for that guy. He's got common sense.
He thinks once in a while. No, this whole thing, I was looking at this article, Steve, and it's just incredible. If a student can provide evidence of a, quote, sincerely held, unquote, gender identity that differs from the gender assigned at birth, then the student will be eligible to participate in MSHSL activities consistent with the student's gender-related identification. People, if you're in one of these school districts, run, move, re-enroll, do something, get out of there.
People wonder why homeschooling is the fastest growing segment of education.
Absolutely.
In America. And now I do want to say one thing. I want to be very clear about this because I think sometimes people misunderstand. My irritation in this, my frustration, my anger even, is not directed against a 15-year-old child who is having struggles with puberty and doesn't know which way to go. Puberty is a difficult thing. Growing up in today's day and age is a difficult thing. My frustration is not ever geared towards these children. My frustration is aimed at predatory adults who are using children to justify their own perverse lifestyle.
Well, and Steve, not to take anything away from the point you just made, but I think there's a lot of moms and dads out there too who may not, be involved in what we might refer to as predatory motives, but nonetheless have given up common sense that we were just speaking of,
right,
in favor of some ridiculous sexual agenda. And so they're just, kind of throwing their hands up and say, a junior, wants to play with dolls the rest of his life. I guess that's okay. Forgive me for being, flippant here, but I really think that's part of the problem is that some of these parents have just bought into this notion that you should just, let children do and think whatever they want to. And that's just asking for trouble. You got to guide kids.
The LGBTQXYZ crowd has just become fanatical in their pursuit of subverting young minds. And if you send your kids to a public school or a government center, as they're sometimes referred, for education, the question isn't, will you have to deal with this? The question is, when
right.
will you have to deal right. with this?
And you know, you talked about earlier the scenario about the shower. And the thing that strikes me there is, what about the rest of the kids?
Right.
They're enacting a policy here which puts the entirety of the team, other than maybe one or two conceivably individuals, putting them all under the tyranny.
That's
the
right.
tyranny of a minority of one or two. That's what is going on. See, a republic is supposed to protect us from the tyranny of the majority. In this case, we need protection from the tyranny of the minority.
But we've created a society in which you can't even speak out against something like this without being accused of horrible things. Here, can I read to you a comment that someone left on my Facebook? This is someone who's writing to me, and they say, evil people, hate-filled people never realize what they are because no one identifies themselves as being bad. And that's what's wrong with you. You think your twisted hate-mongering is the right path, and sadly, you're surrounded with just as uneducated, hate-filled people.
I guess that would be me and Ron, since there's only three of us in the studio at the moment.
Apparently.
You're a bad boy, Steve. You hate-monger.
This is the pushback that we're getting from the far left when we simply say, this is not an acceptable situation for my children to be in.
That really is striking. I mean, it's not just that you're talking about the morals of the situation. You're pointing out the obvious and saying, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I don't want my daughter, you know, to be in the shower, you know, with this 18-year-old guy.
That's right.
Regardless of what's going on in his head. Why is that unreasonable? Why is that hate-mongering?
But,
I don't know.
But the
world's gone mad, buddy.
These issues now are not only in public schools, not only in government-run schools, but now these issues are spilling over into the church. And now churches are feeling like they have to address this situation, and different churches find different ways to do this.
Well, yeah, and just recently it came to my notice that there's a marriage pledge floating around. There's quite a number of pastors that are involved in this. I wish I had the number here, and I don't, but there's a lot of people that have already signed this.
320-some churches
have
signed.
Is that what it is? Okay. But it's called First Things, the Marriage Pledge. And basically what these guys are saying is, we no longer want to participate in any civil aspects of a marriage. So in other words, a pastor would be quite happy to have a marriage ceremony of sorts in the church, but they are not going to sign the marriage license. They're going to distance themselves from the state because they... And look, I understand this. I completely understand the motivation. But what they're saying is, the state has this twisted view of marriage, which we don't want to be implicated with, so we're not going to be involved in it anymore. The problem is, they're saying that they don't want to implicate the church in a false definition of marriage. That's a quote. But then what they do is they ask the couples to seek civil marriage separately from the church-related vows and blessings. So they're asking for a two-step process for people to get married. One of my questions would be, if the pastor can't be implicated and the church can't be implicated in a false definition of marriage, why are you asking the couples to go get it?
Now,
that's one of my problems here.
It might surprise some of our listeners to know that you and I do not agree on everything.
Why, are you a Hawkeye fan?
Well, nothing that serious. But at the risk of this being my last time co-hosting Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, I will say that you and I have a different take on this. I think that the reason why churches are doing this, and I think the reason why they are, is that these churches are afraid, as they extrapolate the political events of the last few years, they're afraid that they are going to come under undue pressure and even persecution from the state, meaning the government, to perform marriages that are outside the bounds of God's laws.
Right, right. And I agree with that, Steve. I have no doubt that there are groups out there right now that are literally plotting, you know, with their agenda. They're saying, okay, who can we target to do exactly what you're saying? I get that. I understand it completely. I understand the motivation that's behind this.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, pressure from fringe groups on churches, and this is exactly the same scenario that we went through as the LGBTQ XYZ crowd assured people that all they wanted was just the ability for two men to get married, two women to get married. But now that has become, you know, a fait accompli throughout the most of the country, and certainly will in the next few years. Now we're seeing that this is continuing to quote unquote evolve, and now things such as things that were unimaginable, even unmentionable, 50 years ago are now on the table.
Well, that's part of the problem here. People talked about the slippery slope. And in this case, there was no slippery slope. They didn't just redefine marriage. They destroyed it.
Yeah, it was a slippery edge to a cliff.
It wasn't a slippery slope. It was an abyss.
And so, if people don't think that Christians can be persecuted, if people don't think that this is possible in a modern day and age, look at what's happening with ISIS today as we speak.
Yeah. Well, I realize we're a long ways from Iraq, but this does break your heart. ISIS, this just came out recently. I don't know exactly when it happened, but the news of it just came out. ISIS militants gave four Iraqi children the choice of converting to Islam or to be beheaded, and the children, all under 15, four of them, said, "No, we love Yeshua," which is the Iraqi name for Jesus. "We've always loved Yeshua. We have always followed Yeshua. Yeshua has always been with us." Once again, the ISIS militants forced the children to convert, and yet again they refused, and the terrorists decapitated all four children. I don't even know what else to say about that.
Evil exists in this world, and our calling as Christians is to be on guard against this. And we are the last, the message that we bring to the world is the last offer of hope in this world. And if you really want to know where the leadership of this country stands, here's a question I would ask you. If bands of roving Christians were going through the Mideast decapitating Muslims for refusing to convert, would our president's reaction be the same as it's been for ISIS?
Now that is a question to ponder. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff House, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Riker, sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. And we finished up the last segment talking a little bit about President Obama, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more, Steve.
All right. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about maybe what the House is thinking about doing relative to his executive action on immigration.
Are the Republicans growing a spine? Have they all of a sudden acquired a spine here?
Well, that's really the question. The House Republicans voted Thursday to block President Obama's immigration executive actions. But this may just be window dressing. It's largely a symbolic step. It's part of a three-step plan that the House leadership has put together to both address Obama's immigration maneuvers and then also to approve new spending to avert the dreaded government shutdown. So next week, they're supposed to vote on a bill funding most of the government through fiscal 2015, and also the Department of Homeland Security, which would be good.
Clarify this for people who might not understand exactly how this is working, what the president has done is the president has taken pen in hand and decreed unilaterally by himself,
he's got a phone and a pen. Remember
This amnesty program for we think it's going to cover about 5 million people, but the president doesn't have any money at his disposal. The president needs Congress to fund anything that he puts forth.
Well, yes, and I think at the end of the day, you and I are both fairly convinced that the GOP is going to give it to him.
they're going to cave a deck of cards.
Yeah, the part about growing a spine is something we're rather skeptical of.
Yeah, it certainly, if you look at the history of the last 6 years, there's not a lot to give you strong hope there.
Well, apparently Republican Representative Mick Mulvaney out of South Carolina said, "I'm not happy." And he's concerned that if Republicans don't fight the immigration policy now, it's going to send the wrong signal ahead to the new Congress. But, of course, the leadership is saying, oh, things are, don't say that. Things are going to be all sunshine and lollipops come January because we're going to have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and we'll be in a stronger position to take actions then. Forgive me, but I'm not holding my breath.
No, not even for three short seconds. And what's most disturbing to me about this whole ordeal is not necessarily the amnesty program itself.
That's right.
I think there are some serious flaws in that. But what's disturbing to me is that we're seeing a usurpation of power by an American president that is absolutely unprecedented in a relative time of non-crises.
Well, yeah, and even if you could make the case that George W. Bush pushed the envelope, as most presidents do, relative to executive action, even so, at some point, we have to start paying attention to separation of powers.
Right. This balancing act in American history, if you study American history, has swayed back and forth, and nobody doubts that. Nobody's denying that. But what we're seeing now is a president who's taking powers upon himself, where you saw it through his handling of Obamacare, changes were made virtually every day, not by congressional process, not by heaven knows, it wasn't through the people. It was through one man sitting in an office, writing papers, changing laws as we went. And then you see it here in the amnesty program, which could cost as much as $2 trillion to taxpayers.
Well, the Obamacare thing is really interesting. I think in large measure the American people either don't care or they're just completely ignorant of it. But basically the bill turned out to be a lump of Play-Doh, you know, right. Play-Doh, whatever you want to call it. They got handed off to the administration, and they can shape it, mold it, cut it, form it any way they wanted to. That's not the way law is supposed to be passed in this country. And right. The argument was made, well, this is just administrative. No, it wasn't. It ran far deeper than that. They're handing out waivers, you know, willy-nilly
right,
to some people
right.
and not to others. And
not that those waivers
me?
Happen to run along, you know, political fault lines at all.
Well, you just can't give this much power to the executive branch. And I asked this question at caffeinatedthoughts.com here a week or two ago to my left-leaning friends. Would you be so interested in allowing the executive to have this much power if it was George W. Bush and Dick Cheney still in office? Would you still be willing to grant this executive power?
But people can't see that because the American people have become like rabid sports fans. That are sure, absolutely certain that their side never committed a foul, that their side never carried the ball, and we have 53% of Americans who are completely and willfully blind to anything that this president does.
Well, I think there is definitely some of that. I think one of the things that concerns me about the left is. They tend to view things differently than the right relative to law. So it's like, okay, if my guy's in office,
right.
I really don't care, you know, about these details, these arguments about the law. Now, if it's not my guy in the office, then I really care. But if my guy's in the office, this stuff's not all that important. That's a big problem.
You know, and it's, like we said, I see very little chance of the Republicans in Washington taking action on this. But what intrigues me is the action of the states. I think that has potential to go somewhere.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Apparently, Texas and 16 other states are suing Obama over his action with regard to immigration. Case being led by Texas filed at the federal court in Southern District of Texas said that the executive order announced by Obama last month violated constitutional limits on presidential powers.
Yes,
Shazam! And the lawsuit is not asking for monetary damages, but is seeking to have the order declared illegal. Now, that's rather interesting.
So the assertion has been that Obama bought himself 5 million voters with, I'll remind you, with your money, he bought himself 5 million voters. Now, there's a thought that maybe in New York that there was a group trying to create even more voters, and that got shut down. But there was a very serious lawsuit that was trying to give human rights to to a chimpanzee.
Okay.
And
I wondered where you were going with that. Okay.
You have to wonder which way that chimpanzee was going to vote in the next election.
Good point. Okay, according to a New York court, a chimpanzee is not entitled to the rights of a human and does not have to be freed by its owner.
Are you kidding me?
Went to a New York appeals court.
That judge must have superpowers.
Well, this is actually from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up department. Yeah, the three-judge appellate division panel was unanimous. Thank goodness for that. In denying legal personhood to Tommy, the chimp, who lives alone in a cage. I guess Tommy, what is Tommy, 40 years old, they say? They think he's about 40 years old. But some group called the Non-Human Rights Project took this thing to court. And the appeals court said there is no precedent for treating animals as persons and no legal basis. So far as legal theory is concerned, a person is any being whom the law regards as capable of rights and duties. And they didn't think that the chimp was capable. Feature that! who knew?
Nice to see the courts get something right for once.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Reicher. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Steve, you mentioned earlier off the air that you really had a burden about this this business of the Fort Hood victims and recognition for the sacrifice they made and the Purple Hearts and all of that.
Right. You know, I'm a veteran. I was a medic in the Army, and so these things are very near and dear to me, and I've been deeply upset about the president's lack of care for the president, for the soldiers who were injured in this, and House Republicans added a provision to the defense authorization bill that would give battlefield recognition for the victims of the attack that Obama insists was nothing more than workplace violence.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, Steve: you had mentioned again off the air that you were concerned that the president has a really, really negative view of the military. My question to you is, do you think that the lack of recognition here was more related to the fact that they were so insistent on calling this workplace violence as opposed to a particular view he may or may not have with regard to the military.
I think it's indicative that the president is willing to throw American soldiers under the bus in order to preserve his viewpoint.
I mean, it does very much appear that this was another instance in which he is extremely, for whatever reason, he's extremely reluctant to talk about these things as violence brought on by terrorism. He just, for whatever reason, it doesn't fit his narrative for some reason.
Right. The president in this seems to be lacking that one key superpower that we've talked about. Common sense.
Well,
all right. Well, let's get off of the president. we could spend a long time talking about the shortcomings of American politics.
But these guys got purple hearts out of this deal, finally.
Well, if this passes and if the president signs this,
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's still in the works.
They would take some serious political heat if they failed to.
Well, it had broad bipartisan support, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Let's talk for just a moment about what Christians can be doing in a positive sense. One of the things is getting informed, understanding technology, getting a better grasp on how we can utilize technology in our lives. You and I talked to
Matt Pearman.
Matt Pearman, thank you very much. And Matt Pearman is going to be at Stonebrook Church later this afternoon with the Technology and Glory of God Conference.
Yeah, Tim Challies will be there, and the Caffeinated Thoughts crew is going to be there.
That's
and
right.
Also, Chris Roloff from the Truth Network, we're going to be there. I doubt we'll be signing autographs.
Well, I plan on bringing an extra pen anyway. That's this afternoon from 1 to 7.
No, it's going to be a good time. We're going to learn a lot, I'm sure.
Right, and Chris Roloff, we should add, is the rich, velvety voice that does the introductions for Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Rich, velvety voice. Okay. All right. No, he's got a great voice for radio.
We have time for
I'll leave it at that.
Do we have a time for a quote of the day?
I think so.
All right. Now, here's from a president that stands in a bit of contrast to today's stellar example. Ronald Reagan said, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face."
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
That's one of the things that we've always tried to promote at Caffeinated Thoughts and Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, is that we unapologetically say our worldview comes from Scripture.
God bless. Have a great week. This has been Steve Riker
and Brian Myers
with Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.